sets a mood.
It certainly does. Hello, welcome to The Big Show. This week, The Big Show is brought to you by Stephen King. It's going to be a fantastic episode. As you can see, Atlee has prepared his loft space for the bodies that he'll then float in blowing insulation foam in there. And the ominous halo around his head is not helping with the idea that he is Canada's massive mass murderer. Has Canada ever had a mass murderer?
I don't know.
Or are they all just too friggin' nice?
Yeah, we're just too nice. There's never a couple of mass apologists.
Right, I need someone to Google Canada's mass murderers and see if it's a list of about two people, maybe. Even that might not be one.
It's a blank page.
That's the big show. We're here to discuss all the big stories that have gone on. And unlike most weeks where we're sat here and I'm going, holy crap, it's going to be just me. We got a full panel. Look at this. Five people, man. I don't have to pick a story. I don't have to do a cool thing. Peace to piss. Just got to switch the channels, not listen, and go to the toilet periodically.
We are, old man.
Joining me. Fantastic bunch. Oh, why hasn't that worked? Oh, that's because I changed the wrong one. There we go. Joining me, a fantastic bunch. Starting us off, top left, Christopher Campion.
Evening.
All right, okay. That sounded like you've just come in off the beat.
Yeah, no, I'm out of practice. It's well over a month, I think, since I last came on.
Deep Ben's put Canada's mass murderers killing you with kindness. now, either Atlee has committed suicide or he's frozen.
It's Canada, so he's probably frozen.
Well, he's just done all his wiring. He's done it like shit, obviously. It's useless, mate. I hope you're on a wired. If you're on a wired connection,
he should have hired a professional.
You need to get up there and do it again, mate. It's awful. He's not. He's lost everything. The Canada winter has struck. He's gone. That's it. They're going to drop like. I'm going on about it. We've got everyone here, and now he's gone, and you're all going to slowly start dropping like flies, aren't you?
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully not.
How's the running, Camps?
Yeah, good. I don't think I've been on since I did Yorkshire Marathon, I think.
Yorkshire Marathon, I bet that were early.
Yeah. There were a few in there. Not too bad, but yeah, a few. But did it in 3:39, so I'm happy with that.
I did a Wakefield, the Wakefield Triathlon. I'm going back a lot of years. I was probably only 21-ish, 22-ish. And the water was illy. We're on a reservoir. Oh man!
Yeah, there's a few hills as you start moving out towards the east coast. Then after a couple of out and backs on there, that are little sort of morale sappers. But yeah, got through it. Finished 3:39. Happy with that. Bring on the next one.
Sub 4, mate, is awesome.
There's two in the bag this year for sub 4. So happy with that, considering the first two marathons.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah,
good to have you back, though, mate. Free with a vampire, or next with a vampire's wound on his neck that he had to get sorted out for the Max show. Jeffrey.
It's awesome to be here. And I did literally just come straight from the doctor.
Show your bite marks, mate. Go on.
Oh, sure.
Here we go. Jeffrey's vampire bite marks. There we go. You've probably just got a hickey and you're embarrassed, aren't you? So you made the whole doctor thing up.
If I got a hickey, I'd be bragging about I just had a chance to make out and took advantage of it.
Oh, hickey's the title of a good book you read before bedtime when you get to our age, mate.
Yeah. Oh, did it get hot in here?
Woo. Are you well, buddy?
I am, despite the fact that I literally just had a chunk cut out of my neck and stitched back up.
All right. Now, Boulder Weather Report.
Oh, Boulder Weather Report. Snowed yesterday. We just got above freezing. And the sun has just come out.
That sounded like breaking news. Oh, look. No, I've just looked at my thermal and we're above freezing.
Yeah. Yeah. So for first time in 2 days that we've been above freezing.
There's people listening to this show who will have their buttocks clenched at that exciting live news brought to you.
Oh, I have no doubt.
That one she's trying to get in by talking about snow in Cumbria, and she's not even going to be close to the kind of snow you have. So.
We haven't had any snow. We've had a quarter inch before.
All right, so ahead of time, there's Atlee in his Dexter kill zone. You all think that's it. It's the insulation at the back has got plastic in front of it. That's to keep the DNA evidence.
See, we're
down.
Laughing because we're really uncomfortable right now because we're pretty sure that's true.
The thing is, though, he's got another pair of glasses because they see him coming from about a quarter of a mile away with those ones. Mate, taking them off doesn't help. Oh, okay, now you look... now that's more sinister now, especially because you were getting the white balance off the orange ones, so it's gone darker in the background now. It's even more menacing. Actually, mate, they add about 10 years to you. The orange ones are better.
What's interesting is the feed is fixed now. Thank you very much, Patrice. The feed is fixed now, so it works inside the Windows app again.
You know how he did it, don't you?
Right.
He has no... clue what he did.
Nope. I don't know.
He sent me a message earlier saying, I think I've shagged up the live feed. And I was like, okay, so we should do a definitely test before we do a test on, before we do the thing on Friday. Yeah, righto. We're never doing a test anyway, mate. So we fired it off and everyone in the chat room was like, oh, it's silky smooth. It's beautiful.
You should have screwed it up a long time ago, Patrice.
It wasn't even me. I think it was Anders who actually screwed it up. I just noticed it.
Don't start passing the blame off to someone else just because you don't know what you did.
Well, I still don't know what I did.
Exactly. So, see, now all the other incompetent assholes on this show would have taken credit for that and just said, yeah, no, I knew exactly what I was doing. I changed the B-roll cup on the HTML5 shrinked angle.
Yeah. Something like that.
Are you well, Atlee?
Yeah.
We still don't have a list of Canadian mass murderers. Are we? Hang on, we?
Yes, I did. I put them in.
And I did.
Oh, seven. The seven most famous. So that means there must be quite a lot of them.
So there's at least eight.
There's at least eight. Yeah, exactly. Good point.
The biggest mass murderer was the British Army.
Are we saying there's at least eight because it says the seven most? Are we saying there's at least eight because we know Atlee?
That's a really good question.
Yeah, no, that works. Mate, so this weekend, insulation, wiring done.
Yep.
When's the roof?
Wiring's done. The ceiling's getting done this weekend.
And then get the lights back on.
The electrician comes back in to put the lights back in.
Cool.
Which is why it's so dark. But yeah, there's only two lights in here instead of the eight that used to be in here.
Right, okay.
So, quite a big space, so it takes a lot more than two lights to fully light it all.
And the two lights that you've got are incredibly menacing.
Well, they put them on the wall, one on the front wall, one on the back wall, so that we could see while we were putting up, they were putting up the ceiling.
Cool.
And they can't be on the ceiling because they're putting them up the ceiling. So.
Okay. Yeah. I like your logic. Patrice, how are you, mate?
Doing good, doing good. It's been a crazy week. So
fresh from the Mac show.
Oh, it's good. Fresh from the Mac show.
That was a good show. I really enjoyed that. We had Callum from IMN Max came on, and he was really good as well. First appearance on a podcast. He did awesome, I thought.
Not cool. As good as me.
That was awesome. And then we had Doc straight from the hospital. So it was a good show.
Yeah, Doc dialing in from the hospital.
So we're bookending this with medical stuff.
Yeah, Doc dialed after what I put in the health room today as well, telling everyone to shut up about their complaints and try and put something positive. But Doc came in, but he was drugged up, so he loved it.
That's awesome.
And while we're on the medical front, Muller went to the dentist.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a tooth out, but she saved it. Hopefully.
Well, you've got antibiotics, haven't you? But it's the second time it's happened, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same tooth from 8 years ago that I had a massive problem, and it nearly got into the bone. And if it gets in the bone, you've got to have the tooth out.
We've got Dama, who's part of the BTN community, and he's an extremely well-cultured dental professor, from what I understand. So, and he said, no, it's got to come out because it'll just infect again. And I thought to myself, well, okay, I've cut my finger and got an infection in my finger, but I wouldn't cut my finger off. And it's because it's the resistance from bacteria for the antibiotics. And I get that as well, but I still wouldn't cut my finger off.
Maybe you just went to see Muller in pain.
No, that's a good point, yeah.
Oh, sure.
What should I do? Oh, no, it's got to come out, mate. It's totally got to come out.
In the secret poll that he put on, they put on Slack this afternoon asking the rest of the BTNs what we thought should happen, we all said let them pull it out.
Well, to be honest, a few years ago, it nearly fell out. They didn't have to fall. luckily they got the abscess burst, and that was unpleasant because it burst in my mouth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Blah.
I've got
where else would an abscess in your mouth burst?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was kind of a big, hard lump of green, and it was quite unpleasant.
I hope you've all had your tea. We did the same thing during Mac. I'll read you out some stuff from Doc that he typed to me before we start. I love you, arseholes. And I said, I don't care. No sympathies in Blighty, mate. We got Brexit, far more important. And he's put, I actually miss all of you, even Muller Biker and Greenie.
Wow, he must be.
There must have been some really good drugs he was taking.
At which point he then fessed up to the fact that he was had a lot of Percocet. So
he's only come back to get me off the Mac show, hasn't he?
And then I said Percocet Love, which I said should be a top 40 hit, so I've started penning that.
I can't wait to hear it.
Percocet Love. The Week in Tech, then. Have we done everyone? Yeah, we have. The Week in Tech, then. Who's the fast-fingered Freddy? Who's going to put in the first story?
Yeah.
Oh, that's look at that. That is three people, like bum, bum, bum. But top of the tree, Atley Boy.
Hey.
Which line are you? Hang on. Two, there we go.
Sorry, right. Jeff and...
I can edit. Right, come on, Atley, talk us through it. Cortana drops the jokes.
No, couple things are changing in the Windows and the app sort of landscape. Cortana's being removed they're not going to be any more Cortana iOS and Android apps, and they're removing Cortana from the Microsoft launcher on Android. And they're also changing Cortana's focus from being a general assistant like a Google one, and it's going to be based more on productivity. So it's going to be more around, you know, scheduling meetings, reading emails, writing emails, doing a number of different things. So some good and bad about this. I mean, it sucks because anybody that set up their environments to use Cortana to any extent is basically going to suffer from this because it won't be available on their phones anymore. And quite frankly, I've always preferred it to the Google Assistant or Samsung's Bixby. But now I don't really have a choice. So again, another choice taken away from me, but it's an interesting slant. They're working on making it a much more productivity based, a much more practical tool. And I think some of it will be really, really great. I just kind of bummed out that they've gotten rid of the mobile companions as well.
My knee-jerk reaction to this is Microsoft decided they failed in the voice assistant space, and they're just abandoning it and taking the technology they have and seeing if they can recoup some of their investment.
Yeah, I can see that as being a viable sort of frame of mind for it.
So now what does this do to the Cortana speaker that Microsoft made?
I don't know. Is that
just a dead product now?
I don't know.
It certainly indicates so.
Speaker, it'll still be the best one I have. So.
They're not getting rid of the functionality of Cortana in Windows though, are they?
No, it's going to stay in Windows, but it's going to change sort of focus. It'll be more towards productivity things. Hey, change my meeting for this, or set me up a one-to-one meeting with so-and-so.
If you're working from home, working on the Windows PC, and you say, you know, Cortana, open up Excel, do this, that, and the other, or, you know, schedule a meeting in Calendar or whatever, I can see that if you're working from home. I've got Cortana on my Surface. I would never even think about using it in the office environment, just because it's fairly quiet in parts of the office. You know, I think if everybody did that, it'd just get on everybody's wick.
I completely agree. And the funny thing is, the most practical place it would make sense to have a quick assistant on the go where you could use it would be on your goddamn phone.
Yeah.
I'm running late. Let them email so-and-so. Let them know I'm running late. Or, hey, can you set up a meeting for so-and-so? Because I used to do that stuff with Cortana on my Windows phone in my car all the time. I sent most of my emails through Cortana. I sent most of my texts I, you know, read a lot of things. I basically, Cortana made traveling any distance really a lot less of an arduous task, and I got a lot of things done while I was doing it that I haven't been able to do with either Google Assistant or Bixby. And so it kind of sucks that they're getting rid of it. And it just doesn't make sense that, like you said, in the environment that they're talking about making it useful, it's not going to be the way you want to do that.
When we set the Surface devices up in our environment, one of the first things that we do is kill Cortana.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know.
But I mean, Apple, Jesus Christ. Moving on. Microsoft have got a history of kind of screwing up the very platform that would help them in their IoT mission. So, yeah. You know, Satya Nadella comes out and says, I want IoT, IoT, IoT. It's all Internet of Things. Okay, so what do you need then? You need a mobile device that's handy and small that you can trigger it all from, and you need a voice assistant that will automatically trigger all of the IoT that you've got on it. And they've killed the phone, and now they're killing Cortana on mobile devices. That makes no sense to that aim of IoT, IoT, IoT.
I think that aim has been swept under a carpet somewhere.
But they haven't come out and there's no, I know they wouldn't come out and say they haven't done that, but there's no, I don't know, it never looked like it started because he came out and said it and then they killed the phone the month after and it was just like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
And when was the last time that Microsoft absolutely saw strategy through from conception to anywhere near what you'd say could be a bit of a finished product?
Well, they've lasted longer than Google, be fair.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Google would have killed Halo quite a long time ago.
That's true.
But the thing is, average lifespan for a Google product is 4 years.
Is that not as many people get vested in it and therefore pissed off?
I think it's long enough to piss people off. Google have done some horrific stuff with email stuff. Yeah. Jeff, you were saying?
Oh, I was saying the average lifespan for a Google product is 4 years. And did Cortana make it through a full Google cycle? Was it at least 4 years old? I don't remember now.
Someone's got to Google
that. Oh, yeah.
It's got to be because I had it on me Windows device, my Windows 10, 20, and that was a phone.
It came
that was
out
at
the
least
same year Siri did, I think, or the year after Siri did.
I thought Cortana was before.
I think it actually. No, you're right. I think it was actually before Siri.
Yeah.
It came out like months before though. Like, it was like the same year, I think.
And the thing is, Cortana's actually been not that bad for its entire lifespan, whereas Siri's been horrific.
Siri's been a disaster.
Yeah. And Cortana wasn't.
Like I said, I could do things with Cortana that I still can't do with Google Assistants.
What I'd like
That's a totally different show.
Speaking as a mass murderer, what I'd like to do to Cortana is if anyone's got a niece out there called Cortana, we do apologize.
I've had to turn Bixby off. I've got that new TV and it's got Bixby. Oh, God,
You know, I didn't even realize Bixby was still a thing.
Well, if you're watching a program,
it's the first packages I rip out of an Android phone.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone legitimately wanting to use Bixby.
I've tried using it. It doesn't do anything. All it does is occasionally it pipes up, goes, I didn't hear what you said, and then interrupts your TV program. So I've turned it off.
Yeah, our cinema's near you.
Well, I've even tried to say, could you turn over? It says, you know, read out the channel number you want. But it doesn't do it, just I don't understand. So what's the point?
Good point here from Deep Pan. He says, who's going to buy a Microsoft earbud when you've got no voice assistant in it?
Mm.
Wow.
True.
Absolutely. That is one of the places where you'd want it.
Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we buy Apple ones and Siri doesn't work in them.
I mean, just as a general status, I would say that IoT is most certainly not dead. So to not pursue IoT as a mission is still wrong.
Yeah.
Aren't they doing something with Amazon though? Like, isn't Amazon and Cortana kind of merging? I think I vaguely remember a story about that.
No.
That doesn't sound familiar.
They're making it so that they could talk to each other. So that you could be really, really annoyed and say, hey, Cortana, can you ask Alexa to do blah, blah, blah?
Oh, right. I remember that.
which I thought was really stupid. It's like, what, now I have to get my personal assistant to ask its friend personal assistant to do something for me? Hey, do you think your friend could do this for me?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like real life, right?
Yeah, and then...
I think it'd be hilarious if you hacked into it and had Cortana just go back and just say, sorry, Alexa said she's busy.
Yeah, and then... yeah, exactly. Alexa, Siri goes, girlfriend, that's not in my job description.
Hey, Cortana, remember that commercial you did a couple years back? I don't want to do anything for you.
It's Bill Gates sitting back, looking at Satchin, going, what the f- have I done?
I don't know. I really don't know.
I have a feeling that that Bill Gates doesn't have the emotional investment in Microsoft that he once did.
No, I think that's definitely true. No. But
so, yeah, my guess is every now and then he's like, well, that's not a decision I would have made. But
it's still better than one Steve Ballmer,
isn't it? I doubt he's getting like really upset about what's happening.
Better than Ballmer. He's Satchin Nadella better than Ballmer.
He's making more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
Okay, then. Fair enough.
We're going to have to start up a hashtag saying thanks, Nadella. Thanks, Nadella. Thanks.
Can you just clarify, where are you going with IoT? If you dropped it, just say so. It's fine.
Well, and that's the thing that makes it so hard as a developer to try and sort of jump in line with, you know, when they say, oh, this is going to be the next big thing. I'm like, well, I'm going to sit back and wait about 3 years and see if you actually go anywhere with this before I invest any of my time. And I think that's one of the things that Microsoft's experiencing now is that a lot of developers are, every time they say, hey, this is the great thing, nobody adopts it because they've all been, you know, three times bitten, 400 times shy.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, I'm feeling like as a developer, if you're going to create a service or product that works with a voice assistant, you should develop for the A lady first and then figure out which other platforms make sense for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, Alexa's going nowhere, is she?
No. She's rock solid.
And it works, It does just work. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, the way the whole voice assistant thing has shaken out in my place, the A-Lady is what I use for day-to-day activities, smart home control, Internet of Things. It's just the general workhorse. If I need a recipe for something, I'll have the A-Lady turn on the switch, the smart switch that I have the Google Home connected to. So I use that to do a recipe when I'm cooking and then turn it back off. And Siri on the HomePod has become my kitchen timer that streams music.
I have no... the only thing I use Siri for is in the car. Everything else is Alexa, and it's... for me, it's this morning was great. You know, Sharon's alarm goes off. First thing I do is roll over and tell the A-Lady to stick the heaters on in the office because I know it was cold last night. So it's done. And the heaters have been on for an hour before I get here then. And I adore that kind of stuff. And then when I'm showing people the white room, you know, hey, girl, stick the light room on. And it's done. And then, you know, turn my radiators off, turn the show lights on. Everything that I've got here is Alexa, and I just adore running it.
Yeah, it works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have the same thing with Siri. I mean, I can tell you one thing. My kids are having a lot of fun with Siri. Like my smallest daughter, she's running around the house and changing colors of like lights and whatever all the time. She asks me like every day, What's your favorite color today? And then she changes all the lights in the house, stuff like that. Yeah. So it's fun.
Wait for about another 12 years until she's got a boyfriend and you come home and all the lights are red, then you'll be taking Siri down.
Oh, maybe not.
You're never going out ever again.
Exactly.
Is this a bad time to admit that I do have a red light set? That I can call up.
That doesn't surprise us.
So can we just have a quick conversation about, oh, there we go. Right, it's done. Sorry. Patrice, no, it's all right. It was going to be Patrice's story, but Camp has shagged him on it. Camps, this is a what the story.
This is Elon developing the car that we all drew when we were 5 years old.
Yeah, it is.
Like three.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. Tesla have this week released the Cybertruck. They've released a where? So we all drew this car. It was also in various like Universal Soldier. I think it probably appeared in a couple of others.
I mean, didn't they put a cannon on top of that in Aliens?
Yeah, the will of them, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, the funny thing is, if you look at like concept cars in the last, I want to say like 3 to 4 years, like every big car manufacturer, they had a car that looked very similar. Maybe had a little, like a couple more edges, but more or less the same, like the same design. So it's kind of a trend that you're seeing. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know why. I think it has something to do with like people. I mean, as you said, like it has been in like sci-fi movies, and people are looking at it and thinking it's very futuristic. Yeah. I think it's just ugly, but
looks like a DeLorean with bad lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know.
My favorite part is when they showed how strong the windows were and then broke them on accident.
Yeah, I've got a link. Yeah. I'll drop that in the chat room, because for me that is amazing. So it's made from, or Elon says it's boasted that it's made of ultra hard cold rolled stainless steel. It's the same stuff used on the SpaceX rockets. It took a sledgehammer to it, give it a good old crack, and apparently it didn't mark. And he quite proudly went on to say, and the windows are unbreakable. So I've got a guy to lob I think it was like a big stainless steel ball bearing at it, and lo and behold, the window smashed.
Does it make a noise like a James Bond villain's golf truck thing?
I really hope so. Apparently, it can pull 7,500 pounds of towing capacity. So that's no... That's no small engine in there. Well, engine.
Right, so it clearly doesn't need the aerodynamics then.
Absolutely. Right. It can do 0-60 in 6.5 seconds.
Hmm.
It's got autopilot, which is exactly what you want when it's probably towing a caravan. and at $40,000, it's got 250-mile range.
That's what you really want is a car that goes 0-60 in 6.5 seconds with your caravan.
I want to see it. So you and the second link that I dropped in the chat room.
I've got the video up on, there we go. Here's the guy. Wham.
The stainless steel baller.
Damo, Tesla, Armaglass. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. Do you guys remember the... I don't know whether it was Top Gear or whether it was the Grand Tour, the episode where they like had the trailers and basically completely destroyed them. I kind of imagine things going like that. Like you tow some kind of trailer and it just like completely falls apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they did deliberately do that.
I love
it. I hated caravans.
This is the fugliest car ever made.
Yeah, I mean... And I still, I mean, the pricing, like given what it, like the size and everything, is actually relatively cheap.
Yeah, $40,000. And on the same, there's a video clip further down in that original article, Ewan. There's another Mashable link. As Elon's one more thing, he also showed the ATV that Tesla have also released, and a guy basically drives it off the side of the stage and straight into the back of the pickup truck.
Mm.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I have a theory about the price, though. As far as I remember, and Jeff might maybe know as well, the Ford F-150s are really cheap in the U.S., and I think Tesla is kind of trying to build something that is at least somewhat competitive.
I think that kind of sums up the story, really, that last little interjection of audio from someone. Have we missed a thing here? And actually, they're paying you $39,000 to be seen. I haven't noticed.
No. I think that they're releasing this in the ATV so that they can beta test the technology on Earth before they build these as Mars mini bus rover things for when they fly over there.
And that would be really safe because there's no steel ball bearings on Mars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But maybe that's when the old meteorite hits the window.
One at a time, boys.
I want to say one thing about the design, and I mean, time will tell whether that is also true for this car. The more like outlandish designs usually last over time. I mean, if you think back the last, like, let's say 70 years of cars, the designs that were at the time when they were released crazy and people said like they're ugly or they're like out there, they're not following the norms, but usually the ones that like nowadays are remembered and nowadays are cherished. Not for every car, but for a lot of cars. So I think what Tesla is trying to do is create something that is so much out there that it might actually last and that it will stick in people's minds.
I've got to just do this because in case we lose it, someone's just typed in the chat room, at least forgotten where the bodies are.
That was brilliant.
If you need to be on video to watch that on audio, audio won't work on audio, but it's quality, man. Absolute quality.
I'm gonna take a screenshot.
hang on. Yeah, has Elon built this so that there's a variant of it which will be sold to the US military? Ka-ching.
Yeah, I could definitely see that.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah,
we need armor
definitely
class.
See that. As I said, like both the military applications and also like sending it to like other planets, I could definitely see.
And Batwench, for no apparent reason, has typed, one of my tortoises smells of coffee. No, those aren't coffee grounds, Baldrick.
Don't go sniffing them.
Those are not coffee grounds, Baldrick.
I'm not having her sugar. Oh, that's milk.
Oh, that's the cappuccino.
So, okay, they're not going to be ready until late 2021, but who's heading over to Tesla's website to put a $100 deposit down on one of these beasts?
Is that all it is, $100?
It's refundable as well, isn't it? That's what Tesla do. Oh,
he's going to have freaking loads. He's going to have about $10 billion in $100 deposits that he's going to have to refund.
I think it's just like his own sort of like crowdfunding thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even if he has to pay it back like at some point, I mean, he can work with that money until then and can make more money out of that. So it's kind of smart. I mean, that's what Tesla has been doing.
So basically what he's saying is, look at this crazy car design. Now, why don't all of you give me interest-free loans?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. On the fact that you give me an interest-free loan on a car that you designed anyway. And all I did was go build it.
Yeah, like no, that's it.
I just, is he making any money? Because I know he's making loads of money from PayPal and that kind of stuff, but I don't know if he still knows that, does he? But the amount of stuff that he's putting into projects that, you know, the artist to Mars thing where they're going round Mars and they're going to paint and sing while they go around, and it's just like...
I mean, all of that is more marketing stuff. I mean, Tesla has, like, they've had, like, a rocky history. Like, they mostly have lost money. But, like, there have been a couple of quarters where they actually made money. So it's getting there. I think the strategy is more, like, he's investing. I mean, he's building up a portfolio. I mean, remember, Tesla is, like, a company that had, like, nothing when they started. It's not like an existing car company that has, like, an existing product.
Steady on. I mean, Tesla had nothing except the bloke who owned it owned PayPal and had billions.
No, but I mean, like, as, like, a product. Like, they had no cars. They, like, it's basically, like, if you and me got together, we had a couple hundred million, and we said, like, we're going to build a car company. That's how they started, like, compared to... whatever, Jaguar, Mercedes, BMW, like all the big car companies.
But they started in a shed. They were Orville and Wilbur Wright businesses that were in a shed. It's all car businesses. start.
Sure,
that way.
But like, I mean, that's what I mean. That was like 100 years ago by this point. He's like, he and any other company. I mean, Tesla's not the only company that's doing that. Like, there are, I don't know how many electric car companies right now that are trying. They're competing. And like, I mean, sometimes you have to do crazy things to get people's attention.
We thought the Royal Canadian Mounted Police were outside your shed there, Atlee, and you were going to set up a new top high level for outside broadcasts of this show.
it's funny that the camera froze and crashed right at the exact same time.
Yeah,
I rubbed my hand. It was pretty funny. I was just trying to grab my phone. Sorry about that, guys.
Did you see the comment that Deep Pan put in when you had your hand on your head?
Pay your internet bill?
No, Atlee's forgotten where he hid the bodies.
Yeah.
Microsoft earbuds look like the Maasai warrior's earrings. No, that's not the story. They've been delayed until spring 2020. Tell us more, Jeff.
Yeah, so Microsoft, they announced their earbud things, and
bud is the wrong word because bud indicates small.
Yeah, okay, totally ties in with my doctor appointment today. The Microsoft ear cyst. So it was supposed to come out like this fall, and now it's not coming out till sometime in 2020, and and I hadn't even thought about the whole Cortana tie into this. So between the delay and the lack of Cortana, I'm thinking Microsoft should just not even release this product. They're missing the holiday buying season, and they're pricing this in line with AirPods. Mm-hmm. So it's a premium product, and it won't even support Microsoft's own voice assistant. So my take is Microsoft has really screwed up with their ear cysts.
Atlee, you need to wait till he finishes talking. Yeah. Go on.
And use a microphone.
Go on, Atlee. Yeah, and use your microphone because we can't hear a sudden thing.
Just like I use them.
We do need a higher end earbud for people that don't use Apple products, though.
Yeah, but we already have those.
There
are several companies that are making really good products already. So Microsoft is late to the game, and I think too late to the game now.
Do you think you get a set of crayons with these so you can draw your own designs for left and right ear on them?
Yeah, I don't know.
I certainly hope so.
Those are horrible looking, which is surprising because usually the Surface Group does make some quite nice looking products.
There's some Russian icon paintings that are smaller than this.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is Microsoft doesn't have any devices that you could tie. I mean, any like mobile devices you could really use them with. Like, they don't have phones anymore, so.
They've got a phone.
Well, they do.
They'll just be standard Bluetooth protocols, won't they?
Yeah.
That's the point, is they're just Bluetooth earphones, which there's so. That market is saturated.
It is, and if anybody can go lay their hands on a pair of the Jaybird Vistas and give them a go, they are fantastic earbuds at about £160. So
I agree. Jaybird Vista is a really good product and at a nice price point.
Yeah. Hmm. The smaller, I've used them once basically from a test point of view from running. I'm definitely there on my wish list. Absolutely love the feel of them. The sound's amazing on them.
They come with a silver chain so you can stop the water from draining out of the sink. Yeah, they're called the iSync. You think it's S-Y-N-C and it's not. It's S-I-N-K.
With new sync technology spelled S-I-N-K.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, what are you doing, Sachin? Come on. Satya.
We've not only got noise cancelling, we got water cancelling.
Yes. Oh, he thought watertight meant it had to be shaped like a plug. Oh, man. Oh, someone put another story in, for Christ's sake.
I've got one.
Have we only got... Who's not put a story in? Oh, Patrice hasn't got a story because Camp stole it.
Yep.
And Muller's just put one in, so we're doing Muller's next. So you got a bit more time.
Yeah, let's do Muller first. Yeah.
It's a BBC story.
Yeah, well, I did actually have it on Engadget, but I thought the BBC story was slightly better. Russia's banning the sale of gadgets with unless you put Russian-made software on them. So I think this is going to cause one or two worries, particularly if I was living in Russia, that they're spying on me.
That's shocking for a democracy.
Are they a democracy?
I know. I'm glad I was sitting down when this story pulled out.
They're not, is there a democracy with the stress on the word mock?
Can I just say that that's as much piss taking as I'm willing to do based on the fact that I'll probably be dead tomorrow morning.
Novichok.
I'll have Novichok on me, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think there's a lot of companies should just not sell them then, and they get nothing. But this is just a horrible story, really. I mean, it just seems to be at the moment is that Russia's becoming a rogue state.
It's a big old rogue state, isn't it?
Yeah. And the hyperlinks off that story. Russian Titans control of national internet. Russian considers unplugging from the internet.
Yeah, I've used that story before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I mean, if you go into the is it the report that Boris won't release about Russian interference with our elections, let alone the US elections, and he won't release the document, which is a bit concerning, especially as he had a meeting on his own with Kremlin officials without his...
Let's not know. I'm not doing down a politics route. Let's forget that. I just got this vision in my head of Russian unplugging themselves from the internet, and there's a bloke walks over in a big gothic factory to this huge plug on the wall that's fractionally smaller than a Microsoft earbud and pulls it out of the wall.
I remember reading it, and I'm trying to wrap my brain out to think exactly what it was. It was about 3 or 4 years ago. There was a... it wasn't like a G20 or anything like that, but there was like a big event with like senior business leaders, politicians, people like that in Russia. And when they arrived, they were all given these goodie bags. And one of the first things that it was either the CIA or the UK found was that there were some plug adapters in these goodie bags, you know, for the Russian plug sockets. And they all had listening devices in them, all of them. I remember reading, I don't know if we talked about the story on the show, actually, back at the time. That might be where I remember it from.
Right.
But that's exactly, I think, what Russia are doing here.
But in every single UK trade mission where all the ambassadors live, they all use 3-pin plugs, even in other countries. So I don't see how that would work unless they, because I mean, they don't, even in countries that use, like even in America, for instance, the UK embassy would have 3-pin adapters.
Is that in terms of, to my comment there, Muller?
Yeah, because...
So this was, you got UK business leaders and people like that going to this, let's call it a summit in Russia. They all arrived before they were going to the hotels. They were given all these goodie bags. So, you know, I suppose what they were hoping is that people will go plug the phone chargers in and, you know, charge the laptop, stuff like that, using some of these chargers which activate listening devices. It was in the hotels that they were giving it to people who were there for the period of the summit.
Oh, right. So it wasn't for the diplomats, because I imagine they wouldn't be allowed to take them in anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit worrying because, I mean, are Russia going to go down the same line as China where you have to have this software on your phone before you go in so that they can monitor you? Because that's what China...
Oh, so you're thinking this is... Because this is talking about sale, though, isn't it?
Oh, it is,
But you think this will extend to tourism?
I think it could do.
It's the only logical explanation afterwards. Like, it's the logical extension of that.
Man.
Because that's what China do, don't they? They take your phone away, stick some software on it, and then bring it back to you.
They don't have to, I mean, they can, but they don't have to because they simply control all the networks. So all traffic goes through their servers.
Yeah, but what if you use encryption end-to-end?
You can't because if there was a service that was end-to-end encrypted, it would simply not work.
Yeah, they block. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they're doing in China.
It's very simple. If they can't read it, you can't use it.
I wouldn't take anything in. I don't think it would be worth it.
I've had a cruise around the internet, boys, and I have found a picture of the new Microsoft earbud. There we go. So that's gonna give a lot of pleasure to a lot of people.
Okay.
Unless I've made a mistake and that's the plug that they gave to the dignitaries and hope that they get a lot of pressure from in the goodie bag
with the listening devices.
I could be wrong.
Does it come with lube?
Yeah, no. It's
get a lot of earwax on that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, let's go with earwax.
Yeah. Oh dear. That sorely went nowhere.
I just there's a thing at the moment. No, because it doesn't. There's a wider debate here about just because you can doesn't mean you should, and just because you can leverage people into getting stuff from it as a human right, you shouldn't be required to give up access to a personal device. Now, I was the one that when we did the San Bernardino iPhone thing, I was the one that was saying, no, I'm sorry. If there is a warrant that's due with judicial oversight, you have to have that as evidence and it has to be available to you and you should be compelled to open it, otherwise you get contempt of court. But that's not the same as just blanket monitoring of every single person that there is on the planet for anything that's any possible. Or saying, right, because my response is like, I'd love to go to China. It'd be fantastic to go see China. What an amazing cultural experience. We want to put software on your phone so that we can listen to it. I got nothing to hide, but bollocks, you're not doing it because it's wrong. That is wrong. It is morally wrong. It is an infringement of my human rights, I would say.
It's one way around that, though.
We're talking about Russia and China, who basically don't give a shit.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is we need a UN resolution that every country in the world signs up to that says that it's okay to look in people's phones with warrants for criminal activity, suspected criminal activity, but it is not okay to just infringe people for the purposes of travel and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, it's not just Russia and China, though. I mean, I've been reading a lot about Australia. Some of their some of their things they're coming out with are quite frightening as well.
US, the same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. to some extent, the UK, when they were going to stop porn sites, I mean, where they were going to make you have to sign up with a card so that your wife would find out.
This makes me think about it. Do you remember when Trump was saying about Apple, it should all be built in the US? Is that not the same sort of thing? You know, but slightly in reverse. Rather than saying consumers, you can't buy anything that isn't fully made in Russia. It wasn't the US. Wasn't Trump basically saying Apple, you need to build everything in America?
But there isn't a technology company on the planet that doesn't rely heavily on Chinese not technical input at the design level, let alone manufacturing. Mm-hmm. It's not about manufacturing. If they're putting it in at the design level, it's not going to be hard to get a mole into the design spec or to the code spec for every device on the planet, because the Chinese workforce is ubiquitous.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that why Huawei?
I mean, it's not the only place where stuff is manufactured. Like, there's Brazil, there's India, like there are a couple other countries. So it's not just China, but majority is China.
Sorry, Hartley, go on.
wasn't there a concern with Huawei, and it's one of the reasons why the United States was not allowing them to do any of their 5G stuff?
Yeah,
is that the chipsets had tracking software or other software built into
there were concerns that their products might be used for tracking.
Well, someone actually caught for having something in one of the chipsets, or where was that disrupted?
That was different. That was a company that was making chips in a specific server. Amazon was using the servers.
That's right.
No, Jim. That whole thing was never like that. Turned out to be
That turned out to be completely bogus.
Even though I don't know who it was, whatever the outlet was, they still maintain to this day that the story was correct. But everybody else has debunked it, including CIA and NSA and whatever.
I did see. Yeah, that's right. That was the Bloomberg story.
I did see a report. Microsoft can sell Microsoft products now to Huawei. Is that a code for Apple as well, or anybody else? Just Microsoft. I mean, Google.
I think that might be an exception.
So Google still can't.
I've just read the description on Amazon. Apparently, that is a unisex butt plug. It specifically says unisex, and it's kind of like, do you know what? It's never struck me before that everyone's arsehole is the same. I just had one of those moments where it's like, of course it is, you idiot.
The important story is on BTN.
Sorry, it just came to me. I just thought I'd get it in before I forgot.
This Russia story, just reading down it a bit, where it's saying the low-mean devices from other countries cannot be sold without their normal software, but Russian alternatives will also have to be installed. So is this actually saying, an iPhone or a Samsung device or whatever, absolutely, yes, it can be sold in Russia, but it's going to have, it's either going to be skinned in terms of the OS, that's going to have some additional Russian software built into it that way, or the Oleg Nikolaev has explained, when we buy complex electronic devices, they already have individual applications, mostly Western ones pre-installed on them. Naturally, when a person sees it, they might think there's no domestic alternatives available. And if alongside pre-installed apps, we will also offer the Russian ones to users, then they have the right to choose. So I think when I originally read this or looked at this, I think I've probably misunderstood it slightly. And what they're saying here is that we're going to put Russian applications alongside the native apps that come with the device, so people have got a choice. Clearly, they don't really mean that.
No, they don't.
It's a monopolies and mergers issue.
It is a democracy.
I'm pretty sure that anyone that bought one of these devices would know of any Russian.
Absolutely.
Alternatives, and would probably go for them if they trusted them.
Mr. Batwinch has just put it, very difficult to spot malicious silicon if someone has the control of the manufacturing facility. I don't know if that's talking about the phone issue, whether it's talking about the butt plug.
It applies.
You definitely don't want malicious silicone in your butt plug.
Because if we're saying that they're putting tracking equipment in the butt plug, so, I mean, you know,
want to make sure that you're using it correctly.
Your butt plug spying on you. Well, I hope it's got a torch.
That only really, really does anybody harm if they're usually talking out of their ass.
That's nothing to talk about on the show, mate. Mr. Batwinch has wimped away from the continuation of the joke and said, no, I was talking about the phone you. He's also been browbeaten by Batwinch into confirming that the tortoise smells of coffee. No one cares.
You know, I've been manually scrolling through Colloquy because today it's not scrolling automatically for me, because I really wanted to know how that tortoise smelled.
Through its nose.
You know, maybe the painkillers are starting to kick in.
And Batwinch, why were you sniffing the tortoise?
You know,
I was hoping to avoid this.
I think it's actually a euphemism.
Sniffing the tortoise is code for.
Is that a show title?
You needed a bat.
Sniffing the tortoise.
No, because now everyone will care. Who bats a turtle?
I thought it was a tortoise.
She put he needed a bat, which is, I was about to call the RSPCA.
He needed a bath because he smelled of coffee. I'm lost.
That's why she got it.
Stop letting it swim in your coffee.
She sniffed the tortoise to see if he needed a bath. Decided he smelled of coffee. Decided he smelled of coffee, so yeah, better bath him.
What if the tortoise has just finished an espresso? It's going to be a while before that scent doesn't linger.
Did you sniff the right end, Batwench?
We're really stretching this euphemism.
You know, like some people use hamsters wrapped in silica.
No, moving on. We're not doing felching. We're not doing felching. We're not doing felching.
Just no.
Oh, this is the best night that Atlee's had since he cleared out the local club in about 40 minutes with a machete.
Oh, dear.
But the thing is, as he was swinging that machete...
Uh-oh, he's having a heart attack. Steady on, boys. Stop laughing.
He kept saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, eh?
Sorry. 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 Sorry.
I tell you what, with the size of that barn, Atlee, you could do with one of Elon's new pickup trucks. Get the rest of the bodies to fill it all up.
Batwinch has now typed, you have to bath them as it helps them get in water. Well, it's not a bath if they're not in the water, is it? That's a nonsense statement.
She baths them in coffee, I bet.
That's probably why.
She takes them to Starbucks.
You see the two tortoises she's got, they sit next to each other, and one goes, you all right, mate? He went, no, I'll stop drinking the coffee now, because every time I have one, she bloody baths me.
And it's not a euphemism now.
My story. Have you still got to do your story, Patrice?
Yeah.
No, shit. Sorry, man. You put that in before, haven't you, as well?
I have, yeah.
All right. Sorry, that was a really interesting story, Muller, but moving on.
Yeah, okay.
Amazon announces a smart shelf.
Yeah. Christ. So they basically, Jesus it's Christ. Called, what is it called? Crap, now I've missed the name.
Can Amazon I just clarify, is that, shelf, sorry, just, Patrice, just on the website here, there's a blue line across. I just want to confirm, is that a break in the WordPress or is that the shelf?
That's just a break in WordPress. Yeah, so basically Amazon has announced that they're going to start selling in the US only for the moment a smart shelf that allows you to not only probably weigh your whatever you want to ship, but also allows you to reorder like office supplies. So like you could imagine like you put like a bunch of paper on it, and if it's too light, then it will automatically order more paper for you. Available in the US, you need a business license to purchase one. I just thought, like, since we were talking about stupid...
You
like,
need a business license to purchase a shelf. I mean, drone restrictions, fair enough, but, I mean, I'm sorry, sir, we've come to confiscate your shelf because you don't have a license for your shelf.
Yeah, you need a license to
purchase. I've just got a vision of an office having one of these, an office cat. Walking on and off the shelf all day. By the time you get home, there's a billion toilet rolls on your doorstep.
Yeah.
So if we sat on it, would we have a shelf life?
Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I had the same reaction as Deepan. He said he checked that it's not an April Fool's story. No, like, I was thinking the same thing. Yeah,
it'd be better if it had RFID and it knew what was sat on it, because there was an RFID chip in all your Amazon products that you used.
That would be cool, yeah, if it knew that. But nope, you probably have to configure like the dash buttons.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this scale. So also you need multiple scales, like one for whatever, different size of paper and all that. Kind of weird.
You know as well as I do, they're going to sell a shed load of these to start with, and everyone's going to have them for a month, and then they're going to be doorstops.
And then they're going to load them all up into their cyber trucks and take them away.
Exactly.
They just go back to playing with the butt plug.
Well, they're also selling them in three different sizes, just FYI. So they have like small, medium, and large.
Batman's type, my boy's in a bath. Your boy as in Drew. What, does he smell a coffee or something?
Oh, God.
So do you need to have a large business to have the large shelf? Or can you have a small business and buy a large shelf?
I'm guessing you can have a small business and get a large shelf. Yeah, it's just like, it's another story of Amazon releasing really weird products. I mean, it kind of makes sense if you think about it from Amazon's perspective. They want people to order more stuff, and they want it to make as easy as possible to order more. So, like, yeah.
Well, what if you want to buy it cheaper somewhere else?
That'd be a great way to screw over your company, going and just move the paper around so it just keeps getting reordered.
This exactly. I'm sorry about this. This is getting worse. So Batwinch has now Instagrammed a picture of her tortoises in the bath. And one of them's so friggin' ashamed, it's gone in its shell. It's just like, is there no privacy when I'm washing my parts, missus? One's got its face against the wall because it's upset.
Yeah, once they're on the way.
And there's not enough water there to bathe in.
No, that's because it wasn't water, you and it was coffee that drunk it.
Oh. I'm never, ever drinking coffee at Batwench's again.
That picture was taken before she poured the coffee in.
Oh, mate. They look like they're about to go in the oven as well. Like a bit of beef stock around that. And there we go. Bit of boiled tortoise.
You're supposed to turn them upside down before you make the turtle soup.
Right. No one cares. I'm still going back with the original line. I can't believe I've been sidetracked.
there's the name for the show. No one cares what your tortoise smells like.
How much does the smart show? It comes with batteries. You need 4 AA AAA batteries for it. It's not even rechargeable or mains powered.
I would imagine.
Yeah. No, it can run off mains as well.
Does it order its own batteries from Amazon? I'm not really sure.
Probably should. I didn't see any pricing, to be honest. So
they're probably too embarrassed to put a price on this.
On certain items, if you order them through the Dash scale thing.
How much is it?
I didn't see any pricing for it.
You know it's going to be expensive, right?
Could be free.
It should be free. It's a sales aid for Amazon.
Exactly.
Because there's a thing here where it's with stationery on it, right? And you know what's going to happen, don't you? You get someone comes and says, sorry, mate, there's no photocopying paper. And someone goes, and they go online and they go, hey, lady, how much photocopying waiting we got? She's go, oh, you got 24 sheets. And they go, there's 24 sheets. And this person said, no, I just went in and I looked and there was none. No, sorry, hey, lady says there's 24 packets there. Sorry, mate. We're not ordering anymore. But we got no paper. Yeah, but we run Amazon systems now, mate, and it says there's loads of paper. But I can't print anything. There's no frigging... I looked. There's no paper.
Yeah. Well, look again, because you must be wrong. Amazon says we have paper.
And who stores rolls of tape in a crate? Because that's going to frig the reading on how much tape you've got.
Well, I'm guessing you can calibrate it and simply like offset that. But like, who stores like that many rolls of tape?
Mate, you haven't made the story all, like, any better by saying that you need to calibrate the large Amazon shelf.
I bet you do.
Mate, this is useless. This is a ridiculous product. This is as bad as the reorder button that you used to buy and stick on your shelf. And you have to have one button for every single product. And all you had to do was press it, and you got 24 golf balls you didn't want because someone knocked into it when they shut the fridge door.
Yep, pretty much.
This is too anal for stationary supplies. Very good, Batwinch.
What about for bum plugs?
Oh, now she's telling me that the cat has drunk all their bathwater. Brutal. Yeah, what's really worrying is those were the big stories in tech this week.
Yeah.
What show are we doing again? I forgot.
Turtle Watch.
The Turtle Watch, that's right.
Mm-hmm. 11 years we've been peddling this shit and people still haven't gotten on.
Has she bought many pizza yet?
This show and all the other shit that's on this network is sponsored by fantastic people, TSO Hosts. They are superb. Stop banging your mic, Right, stop banging your microphone, Muller, because it switches all the audio off. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the sponsors. It's bad enough that we did all the porn leading up to the thing, and before Muller kills the audio midway through their read. I'll edit, don't worry. TSO hosts, they're absolutely fantastic. We love them to bits. They pick up all the bandwidth. They give us storage space. They absolutely make this place function and get us out on the net. We've got a really cool period of time coming up with them. There's going to be some giveaways on the way up to Christmas, so keep listening because you're going to have to be listening to get the chance of winning because it's the first come, first serve, so you need to turn up live if you possibly can. And also, they've got a process for us for learning more about the hosts of BTN. They've supplied us with a set of questions, which we are going to answer truthfully, along with a photo, and they're going to be put on their blog. So, fellas, you need to get a decent photo. Done.
Honey, I knew someone who could do a decent photo.
Mate, my skill is not the issue with getting a decent photo of you.
I thought you wanted to say your skill is not good enough to get a decent photo.
I can get an honest photo of you. That's a different thing. At the moment, they're pushing WordPress, and they've got some amazing deals. If you want a WordPress site, it's £12 a year, not a month, a year for a WordPress site. They give you 15 gig of space. They give you untold amounts of bandwidth. And they've got a little package that will help you do it as well. And WordPress is a lot more usable than it was when it first came out. Now. So, Atlee's girl. So the if you want an e-commerce site, then that'll cost you £60 a year. Just brilliant. Loads and loads of bandwidth on that one and the ability to take credit card payments and all that kind of stuff with it. And don't forget, of course, that you get 20% off if you go to your basket and type in the offer code BTN20. That gets you 20% off all your hosting services. And I really, really, this week's been great. Loads of people have done it. They've really interacted well on Twitter and the socials. Get out there and say thanks at TSO Hosts for supporting at British Tech because we wouldn't be alive without them. You have got to go out there and thank them on the Twitters and stuff like that, please, guys. Because they want just brand recognition. They're not looking to do anything else. You get your offer code and they'd love to, if you buy stuff, yeah, great, fantastic. But they really want the brand recognition of being really supportive of our services because they're a great firm. So please do that. And the other people that we need to say thank you to as well are the fabulous people at IMN Max. Callum came on the show this afternoon. He went above and beyond. There was loads of noise out in the corridor outside their place. And the noise baffling wasn't working very well. So he went and shut himself in a cupboard so he could get decent quality audio. Absolutely brilliant. These guys are superb. They take any Apple device and they have a go at repairing it for you. So all the legacy stuff that Apple won't touch, you got to take it to these guys because they'll probably be able to fix it. They'll go right the way down to, you know, reflowing the solder on your logic board, giving you a new logic board, just upgrading, putting some memory in or putting a hard drive. Muller's going to get a new SSD put in on his Mac Mini for his Plex server. They do all of that kind of stuff. And they've got a huge pile of refurbished stuff. So this is one of theirs. This is a 2012 MacBook Pro. They've upgraded the hard drive in it so that it's a fast SSD, and they've maxed out the memory on it. It's a very functional machine. It'll run pretty much everything. It's not the latest software, but it'll run, I think it goes up to the last one, Mojave. So it's really, really good. Great for the kids for homework and that kind of stuff. And you're thinking, well, yeah, but how much? £300. That's it. And that's got brand new SSD and memory in it. So that's not a bad deal. And they've got a 21-inch iMac at the moment that's got that's maxed out on RAM. And that's £600 from 2013, 2014, something like that. So it's really, really good. I was up there on Monday seeing all the guys and Wednesday, sorry. And they're a brilliant bunch. They're a really great bunch. And they do deserve your support. And they look after us as well. So if you are listening to this and you want to use their services, ask them for a quote and make sure you mention BTN because if you mention BTN, you get a discount. So make sure you use it. And again, get yourselves out on the Twitters and that kind of thing and make sure when you thank TSO Hosts that you also thank iMendMax at iMendMax. And they've been great. Can't say enough of good stuff about them. They're wonderful, wonderful people. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Camps.
Okay, so...
thank God.
Atlee's back.
Now, did you deliberately wait till after the sponsor reads, Atlee, before dialing back in?
Yes, I did.
Oh, mate, that's quality, that is. You're far too good for this show.
I didn't want to interrupt the sponsors.
Okay. Sure. But he does want to interrupt you, Cam. So what's your cool thing?
So last week or two, I've been reliving parts of my youth with the playing Football Manager on my iPad. So if anybody used to play Football Manager, I know it's been about on iOS for most years, actually, for a while, but I've never been that impressed with the versions I've played. But Football Manager 2020 mobile's out. £9 on iOS. There is some in-app purchases as well, which I don't particularly agree with the fact that, you know, you pay outright for an app, and then there is in-app purchases as well. But if you play the cheat, basically the cheat, if you want to cheat, then you pay. If not, you play the game as we all did, well, as many of us did when we were kids. So, yeah, if you were into your Football Manager, The new version is pretty good. It's everything you expect Football Manager to be.
Excellent, mate. Good pick. Like that. I used to play the Cricket Manager one, but it got a bit samey, and you always lost a wicket going into a session break, so it just it was like, I know I'm going to lose a wicket. What's the point in pressing the button? But no, excellent. Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
Well, I've been trying to get the link for it, and I'm totally failing.
I'll come back to you.
It's an Apple Arcade game that I've been playing.
Okay.
And it's called Hot Lava. And
all right.
So the objective is that you need to jump from place to place and jump onto the things that are not the hot lava. So, you know, like the game that kids play where they throw pillows mm-hmm. around the room and then jump from pillow to pillow.
All right.
And the floor is hot lava. It's like that, but you're actually jumping over hot lava. And the graphics are fun. The game is, I mean, it's a very simple game because you just need to like move left and right and jump. And so it's easy to learn, and it can be pretty complex, some of the levels, and then trying to jump to exactly the right place. It's a fun game. I recommend that if you're going to play it, you have a game controller.
Right. Okay. I'm playing the trailer, and I was a bit worried it was the wrong one, but it doesn't look like it is. But it's set in the lounge as well. That's kind of cool. Okay. Good.
So, yeah, the trailer they have for it, I think, is kind of interesting because it makes it look more like a cartoon.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like you're jumping around rooms and over furniture and anyhow, it's a fun game. I was surprised. I downloaded it because someone said, "Hey, just check it out," and it turns out I like it. So there you go.
Cool. Like that. That's good. Atlee, your cool thing. You're on mute, mate.
This is a kind of an interesting thing. It's a new age tech slant on the paper airplane. It's a paper airplane kit that also has a controller and allows you to control it with an iPhone. Or with a Bluetooth, with any device that can attach to the Bluetooth. So Android or Apple phone. And it's quite cool because you can make your own paper airplane and then see how well it'll fly with an actual engine.
Can you steer it?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
You can do
Power Up makes really cool stuff.
Yeah.
All right, okay.
It's just awesome. I'm getting one for my niece for Christmas, and I just thought it might be something that other people might like to take a look at.
So it only steers left and right. It doesn't do, it's got a rudder control, but it doesn't seem to have a...
it doesn't do pitch and yaw, no.
An aileron, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got to make a plane that flies level at least.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, it's still quite a cool idea.
It doesn't need to fly that level. The way the plane... or the way the software works for this thing, it will take a plane that's pretty unstable and figure out how to keep it in the air for as long as it can.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It does a fair bit of computing.
It's a cool thing.
To compensate.
So that's 70 Canadian dollars. So is that like 10 pounds or?
Nah, it's probably about 40 pounds.
500.
It's probably 40, 45 pounds maybe.
Okay. All right, cool. That's not horrific then. It's all right.
Yep.
That's okay. Patrice.
Yeah, I got a book again today since I thought would be fitting since we talked about surveillance and all of that. It's a new book from Edward Snowden. No matter what you think personally about him and what he did, it's an interesting interesting book. He obviously doesn't talk about anything that hasn't been released yet. So all the information that he gave to journalists and that has been released, he references, but he doesn't go into details. It's more about him, how he grew up, how he ended up where he is ultimately. And also the story about him and his girlfriend, who now lives with him in Russia or in Moscow. She gets a chapter. She is actually at the end of the book, she's quoted or she put in a part of her journal out of from the time basically when he left and then what happened after that. So it's simply a very, very interesting book. Also to understand how things work and how the whole system that the intelligence community works, at least on a high level. I mean, he doesn't really go too much into detail. I think that would also probably not be very easy to read and easy to understand. It's simply, I really enjoyed it. I basically I listened to it on Audible, and it was basically I started it and I didn't stop until it was done, basically, almost. I think it took me 2 days or something. Awesome book. I can just highly recommend it. It's entertaining, isn't it? No matter what you think about what he did or didn't do, I know some people have different opinions. It's just a very interesting book, and it's very interesting also to put it in historic context and see, okay, what happened actually during the Obama era? What were the things that were actually done that were sanctioned by Obama and by the government? And The thing I took away, and I don't want to go into politics, is Obama wasn't the good guy that people thought. If you believe him, and I think that's also an interesting thing to see. So it's very interesting.
Excellent. I think it's hard to judge personalities of world leaders though, because there's a lot of them have to make an awful lot of really crap decisions.
I'm gonna decide
whether we're gonna kill someone today or not.
Yeah, it is difficult. That's definitely true. On the other hand, sometimes they say things publicly and then do the opposite, and that's kind of
that's politics, isn't it? So.
Yeah, that's true. As I said, it was just that was very interesting for me to see. And as I said, it starts in I think in the 80s or 90s, and then goes through even the early 2000s with 9/11 and all of that. Basically also get to relive a little bit of history through his eyes, and that's also interesting.
Cool, well done, mate. Muller, what's yours?
Mine's a guy's YouTube channel, bigclive.com. I've been watching a few of his videos, and they're excellent. I mean, he just gets items and he breaks them down, but more worryingly, he gets items off, say, Amazon or eBay, and then breaks them down and shows how dangerous they are. So if you're interested in looking at things, he breaks apart batteries. I think I've said that before. He also teaches you basic electronics. But one of the things that I watched the other day, he broke down some LED lights from eBay.
Yeah.
And the 3-pin plug, he took it apart and says, look, this isn't grounded. There was no ground going to the metal. So... What that could have happened is that the ground could have then maybe touched, because it was just flapping it free, could have touched maybe the live and then made the whole aluminium case live and used you as ground. So if you're interested, he's quite interesting. He's got he's Scottish, so he's a bit of a madman, but He does some really great things.
Just for all the Scottish listeners listening, that's not a generic statement that all people in Scotland are madmen. Those are two separate statements with a full stop. Yeah. But Muller doesn't get a punctuation. So.
But what he does do is try to make things sometimes explode, which is quite funny. So cool. He got some really cheap Poundland battery chargers and made them explode. And he tried and tried and tried till he made them go really good. So he's a fun guy to watch. Well recommended.
Okay, mate. That's good. Thank you.
And it's free.
Because it's just a YouTube channel, yes. That's okay. Oh, good. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Campion?
Get me at Campion UK on Twitter. All my running stuff is on Instagram, and that's Just Run Chris. And you can get me in the chat room to give us a yell.
Excellent, buddy. Where can we get you? I've just realised I was on the wrong camera then, sorry. Jeffrey, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com, and I'm Jay Gamut on Twitter and Instagram, and just listen to all the podcasts. You'll find me.
All the podcasts on the internet, he means, not on this network.
Right, on the internet.
Yeah. Atlee, where are you, mate?
Well, you can reach me on Twitter and on Instagram at Atlee Hunter.
Excellent, mate. Sweet and to the point. And Patrice, where would you be?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show, and everything I do, including my social medias, on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And Muller, finally.
Muller Biker on Twitter, in the Slack room, and Muller999 on Instagram.
Cool. I'm just sitting thinking how I'm going to take a decent picture of you. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow me at 12 Space Media if you want to see photography and that kind of stuff, or Rankin.photography as well. But if you don't, I won't post Muller's picture up there, don't worry. You can follow us at British Tech, and it's a load of fun. And please remember to say thank you to the sponsors at TSO Hosts and at iMintMax. We're going to be back again next week with two shows, Friday, and I think the iMac boys are going to be in the studio, all three of them. So that should be a good laugh. Both shows, we're going to have something to eat and in between the shows and that kind of stuff. So it should be great fun.
Nice.
See you all next week. Awesome. Have a great weekend. And thank you so much for listening to this rubbish. Good God.